The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
All right, Hugh Hewitt, welcome to the Rundown, which consists of the pre-rundown, the rundown, and the post-rundown, but all of it brought to you by ReliefFactor.com. $19.95 gets you started on ReliefFactor.com. I talk about it three times in my daily show, at the bottom of the first hour when I take it, and then in hours two and three when I remind you to take it, depending on when your commute begins, because ReliefFactor.com works. It's the only supplement I've taken in 30 years of broadcasting. I've declined every other opportunity to take a supplement. And I'll tell you why. Because ReliefFactor.com actually works. I carry in Curcumin Resveratrol Omega. Temporary relief for the relief of minor aches and pains. Temporary support for the relief of minor aches and pains. And you can't do better than that three-week starter pack, $19.95. With that in mind, let's get to the pre-rundown rundown. Joined now by Generalissimo. The pre-show is underway. The show gets started in about 10 minutes. We got Joe Biden clips from ABC with George Stephanopoulos. I think it's like the least newsworthy interview ever.
Pretty much, because it looked like he knew what questions were coming ahead of time. It's like a preview of what Biden's press conference is going to be on Thursday, which is all the questions have to be submitted in advance.
It wasn't particularly revealing, but what it did reveal is that the Manhattan Beltway media elites are in the bag for Joe Biden like they were during the campaign, and he's never going to get pushed on anything. I mean, he's just not going to get pushed on the border. He's not going to get pushed on the filibuster. He's not going to get pushed on anything. Tell me about Mitch McConnell's audio where he is threatening scorched earth in the Senate if they go with a filibuster.
Well, there's multiple ways of looking at this, and it's a long piece. I played it a lot on the after show last night in the universe, universe.com, in case you want to hear what Hugh's going to maybe talk about the next morning. Mitch McConnell spent a good length of time talking about how he could have done this in the past, what the Democrats are talking about doing, scrapping the legislative filibuster, and didn't. And not only that, but what's coming if the Democrats go down this road, which is total gridlock. You can't get unanimous consent on anything, and the Senate will grind to a halt.
Because you need 51 votes, actually, to proceed. The vice president cannot vote on procedural matters.
Correct.
So it's going to be a nightmare if they go that way. Now I want to focus on Gavin Newsom. Now,
yes.
Our show is on early in the East, 6 to 9 in the East. Sometimes it goes a little bit later.
He had a no-good bad day.
And the Gavin Newsom bad day was with Joy Reid, Jake Tapper, and on The View.
Yes.
He's obviously in trouble. He's obviously struggling. But the question for a radio audience, do you think the rest of the country cares that the Alfred E. Newman of California is in trouble?
I think there's a curiosity factor that California's going to potentially throw two governors out in, what, a decade?
Yeah, well, the Arnold thing was more than a decade ago, but it'll be Kevin
Faulkner,
the former mayor of San Diego, John Cox, that got blown out in the last election because no one wanted to run against Gavin because he had all the teachers union.
Or maybe.
And then Rick Grenell.
Yes.
And probably Tom Steyer. That's the wild card. If Steyer is the only Democrat in, we could end up with the most boring man in America as governor just by virtue of the Republicans splitting the vote.
What made the Gavin Newsom stuff interesting to me was not necessarily what he said, but how he said it, meaning instead of saying the recall's not going to happen, it's not going to qualify, he's now kind of come to grips with they got 2.2 million signatures. I can't throw that many out. It's not, if it's not close, I can't cheat. I can't throw that many signatures out. It would look just ridiculous. So, yeah, it looks like the recall's going to happen. So now he's shifted gears, and he's saying, but everybody behind the recall, it's all the QAnon people. It's all the Proud Boys people. It's all MAGA people. Nobody else wants to boot me out because everybody else loves me. It's just It's just the Trump people.
Did anybody ask him about the schools being closed, which is
exactly.
actually driving? Did anybody ask him about that?
Think about parents. Think about anybody in this state in the entertainment industry. Think about anybody in the restaurant industry that may have had cause besides Proud Boys to want to throw them out.
Well, you know, radio producers are a put-upon group, and you're probably going to vote to recall them.
Oh, in a second.
See, it's going to happen. It's just a question of... Can two of the three Republicans get the heck out of the way? They should just draw lots. Actually, John Cox probably can't win. I'm going to do a debate with him at the Nixon Library in June. We'll keep you posted on that. We also have to cover the shooting in Atlanta. This certainly does appear to be the targeting of Asian Americans at massage parlors. We will dig into that as the news develops through the course of this. I'll lead people into that right off the top. Stay tuned. The Hugh Hewitt Show is headed right at you, right on this station. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you this. There has never been a more important time to protect your digital rights. That's why I and thousands of my patriotic listeners choose to secure our online data by using ExpressVPN. Do you believe that a VPN isn't for you because you can use the internet just fine without one? Anytime you go online, my friends, your internet service provider can see every site you are visiting. You think that VPNs are complex and only for tech experts? No, they're not. Trust me. With ExpressVPN, you launch the app, tap one button to protect yourself, and it's done. It's that simple. I trust ExpressVPN to protect my online data because they're rated number one by CNET and Wired, and they stand for my values. So now is the time for you to take a stance. Take back your privacy at expressvpn.com/Hewitt. You get 3 extra months for on a 1-year package. That's expressvpn.com/Hewitt to get 3 extra months free. Visit expressvpn.com/Hewitt right now. Morning, glory, America. Bonjour, hi, Canada. Hugh Hewitt. It's the story of I am trying to catch up with a breaking story out of Atlanta that is very, very sad. And, Its details are sketchy. First reports always are. But 8 people have been killed in Atlanta overnight in 2 shootings at massage parlors. And let me just read you the New York Times intro. 8 people were shot to death at 3 massage parlors in the Atlanta area on Tuesday evening, the authorities said, raising fears that the crimes may have targeted people of Asian descent. 6 of the people killed were Asian, 2 were white, according to law enforcement officials. All but 1 were women. A suspect identified as Robert Aaron Long, 21 of Woodstock, Georgia, was captured in Crisp County, about 150 miles south of Atlanta, after a manhunt, said to the authorities, who had earlier released a surveillance image of a suspect near a Hyundai Tucson outside one of the massage parlors. Although it was not clear whether there was a racial motivation in the shootings, Stop AAPI Hate, formed to prevent anti-Asian discrimination during the coronavirus pandemic, called them an unspeakable tragedy for both the victims' families and the Asian American community that has been, quote, reeling from high level of racist attacks. The Atlanta police initially characterized the shooting as one of the parlors as a robbery in progress. The suspect in custody is white. The Washington Post account is... Shootings at 3 Atlanta-area massage partners left 8 people dead on Tuesday, including 6 Asian women, spurring concern among advocates and police that the killings could be the latest in a surge of hate crimes against Asian Americans. Police arrested Aaron Long, 21, after a brief manhunt. Authorities said they do not yet know of a motive in the killing, which left 4 women, all of Asian descent, dead inside 2 massage parlors, and 4 other people, including 2 Asian women killed in another parlor in nearby Cherokee County. The violence stoked fears in a community already reeling from attacks and racist targeting and left police from Seattle to New York mobilizing to add protection for Asian Americans. It seems clear to me that one would have to assume it is a race-based assault until otherwise. It sounds like Dylann Roof walking into Mother Emanuel Church in Charleston, South Carolina, years ago, to a Bible study at which all the participants were black, going to a place that he knew where his victims would be African-American and killing them. And we don't know anything about this other than that's what it appears. I'll keep you posted as news occurs throughout the day. A lot of show today. Glenn Youngkin is joining me, the next governor of Virginia. We're going to talk about the current governor of Virginia in his latest nuttery. We've got Jane Timken, who's running for Senate in Ohio. My friends John Allen and Amy Parnes are here. They're the co-authors of the brand-new bestseller, Lucky, How Joe Biden Barely Won the Presidency. They'll be on in the last hour today. Josh Kroshauer, David Cortman from Alliance Defending Freedom, our friend Mike Gallagher. Lots to talk about today. Let me do a quick rundown of news other than the shootings in Atlanta. Two new cases of a coronavirus in England linked to the Philippines. It's a new variant. Remember, variants are the danger. We're getting ahead of this thing. We're up to 70 million vaccines, shots administered in the United States. By May, I believe we will have reached that magical herd immunity. It doesn't mean no one will get sick, but it'll mean that life can get back to normal. But a variant would change everything, turn everything upside down. We don't know yet whether the variant from the Philippines is like the variant from Britain, effectively disabled by the vaccines that we have. The Secretary of Homeland Security, Mayorkas, Secretary Mayorkas said that illegal boarding crossings are at a two-decade high. It's the worst it's been in two decades. Took Joe Biden 2 months. Got to the worst in two decades. Meanwhile, according to Axios, there have been four terror watch list suspects arrested at the border. Four. That's what they're telling us about. Three of them from Yemen, one from Serbia. All right, that is not good news. The whole world knows that the Biden administration has basically suspended border enforcement. They have telegraphed a message, come one, come all, olly, olly, in free, and as a result, we are overwhelmed, even though they say they didn't mean to do that. They have done it. U.S. intelligence agencies discovered that Putin authorized pro-Trump influence campaign. That's pretty predictable coming from a Biden intelligence apparatus. Honestly, it's a Steele dossier, part 500. They meddle in every election. They influence every election. They try to imply that Trump won the first time because of Putin. There is no proof of that. They just meddle. Biggest news of the day in terms of history, Dead Sea Scrolls discovered. And I have linked to this in the Times of Israel. It's astonishing what they have found. They found a 10,000-year-old basket, maybe the oldest artifact anywhere in the world, a basket. And they found thousands of pieces of varied ancient scripture to add to the, you know, a piece can be one letter. It's really quite amazing. And it's an adventure story using drones and repelling people. I can't read it to you. It goes on forever. But the Cave of Horror is 80 meters below the cliff face, and there were 40 skeletons of the Bar Kokhba rebels discovered during excavations in the 50s and 60s. But Israel sent the pros back, and they have now found just an amazing haul. It's going to upend biblical studies again. I knew a fella, Mark Roberts, has been on the show a few times, who had some connection to the first Dead Sea Scrolls study. Now, what they ought to do is what they did with the virus. Post pictures immediately of every fragment and let the world's intellectual community go to work jointly. The last time they did the opposite, they gave them into the possession of one scholar who was not exactly normal, and it went off the rails and no one saw it. No one heard about it for years and years and years. Transparency, transparency, transparency. Let's see what they've got. It's mostly minor profits, but we'll see. Great Britain announced yesterday they're going to add nuclear weapons to their stockpile. Boris is going big. It's the only way for him to stay relevant, for the United Kingdom to stay relevant in the competition with the world's nuclear power, so he is going that way. Good for Boris. Mitch McConnell took to the floor of the Senate yesterday to lay down the law on the filibuster. If, in fact, Democrats change the filibuster rules, and Joe Biden said last night he's in favor of doing so. He said that to George Stephanopoulos. Cut 21.
You're not likely to get Republican votes for the tax increase. You're not likely to get Republican votes for H.R. 1, expanding voting rights, or the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. So aren't you going to have to choose? I know you've been reluctant to do away with the filibuster. Aren't you going to have to choose between preserving the filibuster and advancing your agenda?
Yes. But here's the choice. I don't think you have to eliminate the filibuster. You have to do it what it used to be when I first got to the Senate and back in the old days when you used to be around there. And that is that a filibuster, you had to stand up and command the floor. And you had to keep talking alone. You couldn't call for, you know, no one could say, you know, quorum call. Once you stopped talking, you lost that, and someone could move in and say, I move the question of. So you got to work for the filibuster.
So you're for that reform. You're for bringing back the talking filibuster.
I am.
So here's Mitch McConnell's response, cut number 7.
Protections for conscience and the right to life of the unborn. Concealed carry, reciprocity in all 50 states in the District of Columbia. Massive hardening of security on our southern border. We saw during amendment votes just days ago that some common sense Republican positions actually enjoy more support right now than some of the Democratic committee chairs' priorities.
Mitch then goes on to tell people it will be a scorched earth Senate. I will play that for you when we get back a little bit long to jam in here, but scorched earth is the operative term. Don't go anywhere, America. Lots of news today. Lots of news, and you'll hear it all right here on the Hugh Hewitt Show. The fact is the internet never forgets. There has never been a more important time to protect your internet activity, your digital data. That's why I urge you to get ExpressVPN. Everything you search for, watch, or click online can be tracked back to you by big tech companies, and they do it. They match your activity to your true identity using your device's unique IP address. That's why you need to switch, and I switch, to ExpressVPN. On your computer, on your phone, every IP address is masked by a secure VPN server, which makes it harder for websites to identify me. Plus, you can use ExpressVPN on up to 5 devices simultaneously. That's why they're rated the number one VPN by CNET and Wired. So stop handing over your data to big tech companies. Go with the VPN I trust for online protection. Visit expressvpn.com/Hewitt to get 3 months free on a 1-year package. That's expressvpn.com/Hewitt. To get 3 extra months for free, go to expressvpn.com/Hewitt right now to learn more.
As I was riding over the Farfim Kerry Mountains, I met with Captain Farrell and his money he was counting. I first produced me pistol and then I drew my saber, saying stand and deliver, for I am about the saber.
Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you, even though a shadow is across it, given the murders in Atlanta of 8 Asian Americans. It does seem to me like that's going to be a race-driven crime, and we'll find out the nut and the evil man who did this, and we'll talk about it when we have more facts. Yesterday, Mitch McConnell said, we're not going to be backing tax increases, period. Which means any tax increase will be a purely Democratic tax increase. And the pressure is building on the president to push a filibuster reform or a filibuster change. Now, they'll make Joe Manchin into a liar if they do that, but that's an acceptable cost. They don't like Joe Manchin anyway in the Democratic Party. They'll make Kristen Sinema into a liar if they do it. If they change it anything by other than by 60-40. You can change the Senate rule 60-40, otherwise you have to use the nuclear option. And Joe Manchin swore up and down he would not do that again and again and again and again. He said at one point, blank, blank, invoking the Savior's name, what part of never don't you understand? Never going to change it. And so he said on Chuck Todd's show that he might consider supporting a change that would be a talking filibuster, but that would take 60 votes. It's not the nuclear option. And again, because Democrats never go in hard way of an interview like me, I would just like to get to know what he means. Are you supporting a nuclear option to go to the talking filibuster? That would make Joe Manchin a liar. And I don't think he is a liar. I don't think he wants to go down as a liar. And I don't think it's going to work. But Mitch McConnell, nevertheless, went onto the Senate floor and warned everyone of everything that would pass without a filibuster. But then he warned, but that's not going to happen because it'll be scorched earth. Cut number 7.
Two, protections for conscience and the right to life of the unborn.
Yes, he's playing the same one again.
Concealed carry, reciprocity in all 50 states and the District of Columbia. Massive hardening of security on our southern border. We saw during amendment votes just days ago that some common sense Republican positions actually enjoy more support right now than some of the Democratic committee chairs' priorities. And this is with them in the majority. So the pendulum, Mr. President, would swing both ways. And it would swing hard. My colleagues and I have refused to kill the Senate for instant gratification. In 2017 and 2018, I was lobbied to do exactly what Democrats want to do now. A sitting president leaned on me to do it. He tweeted about it. What did I do, Mr. President? I said to the president at that time, no. I said no repeatedly, because becoming a U.S. senator comes with higher duties than steamrolling any obstacle to short-term power. I meant it. Republicans meant it. Less than 2 months ago, two of our Democratic colleagues said they mean it too. If they keep their word, we have a bipartisan majority that can put principle first and keep the Senate safe.
He is laying out that it will be the end. Joe Manchin's obituary will be a Joe Manchin liar died today. Kristen Sinema's obituary will be Kristen Sinema liar died today. They can't take a position that's absolute and then walk it back. And so I'm not worried about it, actually, but The Wall Street Journal includes this editorial today. The biggest question in Washington for the next 2 years isn't about a single policy or whether President Biden will expose himself to a press conference. It's whether Democrats use their narrow Senate majority to kill the legislative filibuster rule requiring 60 votes in order to ram a radical agenda into law with a mere 50 votes plus Vice President Kamala Harris. Two Democrats, Kristen Sinema of Arizona, Joe Manchin of West Virginia, promised at the start of the year that they wouldn't vote to do so. But the progressive and media pressure is building on the pair to renege on their pledges as legislation passed by the House piles up on the Senate door. Democratic Senate leaders are vowing that they'll find a way to evade the filibuster one way or another. Republicans can see these signs, and on Tuesday, Minority Leader Mitch McConnell made clear what would happen if they do kill the filibuster. It won't be pretty. Quote, some Democratic senators seem to imagine that this would be a tidy trade-off if they could just break the rules on a razor-thin majority. Sure, it might damage the institution, but then nothing would stand between them and their entire agenda, a new era of fast-track policymaking, McConnell said. Don't count on it, Mr. McConnell continued. Quote, so let me say very clearly for all 99 of my colleagues, nobody serving in this chamber can even begin to imagine what a completely scorched earth Senate would look like. None of us who have served 1 minute in the Senate that was completely drained of comedy and consent. Generalissimo, if you can find just those two sentences, that would be terrific. So let me say this very clearly for all 99 of my colleagues. Nobody serving in this chamber can even begin to imagine what a completely scorched earth Senate would look like. None of us have served 1 minute in the Senate that was completely drained of all comedy and consent. It's three sentences, Dwayne. He then explained what that could mean in practice if Republicans responded by withdrawing the unanimous consent required for the Senate to function. I want our colleagues to imagine a world where every single task, every one of them, requires a physical quorum, which, by the way, the vice president does not count in determining a quorum. That's right. A quorum without unanimous consent is 51 senators, and there are only 50 Democrats. If Republicans kept their nerve in the opposition, Democrats couldn't confirm nominees or vote on legislation. The Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden agenda couldn't move any more than if there were a filibuster. Democrats may think this is a bluff, or that the public would revolt if Republicans ground Senate business to a halt. But are they willing to take that bet? Democrats shouldn't underestimate how united Senate Republicans would be, how much GOP grassroots support they'd have. My gosh, it would be the greatest. It would raise more money. Every day they stood there and refused to show up, they would raise so much money because the American people are sick of the left steamrolling the 80% of the country that does not believe in H.R. 1 and its radical measures, does not believe in the radical tax hike. And it's a radical agenda. The Senate Democrats are radical. And 80% of the country is against them. And if the Republicans stood united, they would win that. Even if it took 2 years, they would win. If Democrats break the filibuster in a 50-50 Senate to federalize 50 state election laws, force mandatory unionization on 27 states with right-to-work laws, add two new states to pack the senator past the Green New Deal, yeah, they wouldn't show. There would be no quorum. Mr. McConnell pointed out the obvious majorities aren't permanent. And eventually, Republicans would be in a position to rule the Senate without a filibuster. In fact, I think they'd sweep the Senate elections in 2022. Imagine what they might pass. Mr. McConnell gave a few examples, defunding Planned Parenthood. But for political flavor, think of GOP Senators Josh Hall and Paul Rann Unbound. These columns have been frustrated by many Democratic filibusters over the years. But the rule exists to protect minority rights and require large majorities for significant reforms. If Democrats blow it up on the narrowest of majority votes, and after two of their members have lied to the American people, I just don't think Joe Manchin's a liar. I don't think so. They will own the unintended consequences. Now, let me pause for a moment and also tell you there is a movement underway, and I want to explain what's going on. The United States Constitution is a separation of powers constitution. It's separated two ways, the federal government and the state government. They have different powers, different authorities, and one may not trespass on the other's authorities and powers. The police power, for example, the general police power is reserved to the state. There is no federal police force, although there's a Federal Bureau of Investigation. They do not have general police authority. They can only act under the enumerated powers delegated to the Congress in Article 1. And then there's a separation of powers within the executive branch, Article 1, Article 2, Article 3. But the big separation of powers is the federal government versus the state government. Now, the state governments didn't create the Constitution. The people did, acting in conventions in the state that were not legislatures. They derived from the people, the consent of the governed. In 1789, it was ratified, drawn up in 1787, hasn't changed in any major way except for the 14th, 15th, and 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, which were necessary to correct the original sin of slavery. But the federal government may not tell the states what to do. And that has been upheld again and again and again. The first law, the first case I ever worked on when I was a summer associate for Baker and Botts in the summer of 1981 was Mississippi v. FERC. And the brief that got filed there was about how the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission couldn't tell the states what to put back and what to cover up and how to mine and how not to mine. The states lost that case, but they subsequently have won major cases, including in Sibelius, the Obamacare case, where it says the federal government may not use the money that they've got by the billions to coerce the states into doing what they want. Well, in the law just passed, the federal government, the Congress said, and President Biden signed, a hostage bill. Hey, states, here's billions and billions and billions of dollars. But if you take this money, you cannot cut taxes. That, my friends, is unconstitutional. And Dave Yost, if you're listening, the Attorney General of Ohio, Mark Brnovich, the Attorney General of Arizona, go and sue today to have declaratory relief that that is defunct. That is not constitutional. It has to get going quickly. And I believe that there are dozens of Republican state attorney generals who know that their state sovereignty is on the line. Blue states want to control red states, and they are using this narrow majority to tell people you can't cut taxes. Now, if you want to send, we cannot stop the Democrats from sending $350 billion to the states to bail out their public employee unions. They're not going to the pensions, but they're going to keep everyone on the payroll. You won't see a dollar of that, by the way. The roads won't get built. You're just not going to see it. I'll talk about it for 2 years. You're never going to see it. But they cannot tell the state legislatures ever what they can and cannot do on the state tax side. That's why Virginia's only got a 5.5% income tax, and California's got a 13.5% income tax, and Florida's got a 0% income tax, and Maine's got an 8% income tax, and Texas has got a 0%. Because states are free to do what they want, and they cannot be coerced. They cannot be hijacked. They cannot be made into puppets of the federal government, which this new stimulus does. So go and sue. Sue today. Dave Yost, I know you're listening. I count on two listeners every day, David Yost and Urban Meyer, two great Buckeyes. Urban Meyer is building a team in Jacksonville. He can't sue, but you can, Dave. Get going. You too, Mark.